is just give you invitations. I just want you to know, man, I just want to pray and give thanks. I want you to know that what you just sang is absolutely a reality for those of you who believe, who have received the grace of God in your life. I want you to know that you're people of victory. Man, it was exciting yesterday. Man, we got to watch our Hilltoppers play a wonderful game and set history. So, Hilltoppers, thank you all for playing so well. And, man, just a great day in the Lord. Single mother's oil change. We had a sister from Egypt receive the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so, you know what? Man, I just love it that God is the God of the world. He's not a God of the pocket of the world. He forgives and saves all people. And we're going to talk about that today. Listen, for those of you that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're not what you used to be. You're not what you used to be. And if you don't mind, if you just share with somebody sitting next to you, whether they believe yet or not, you just go ahead and make this confession to them. I'm not what I used to be. Hey, I'm not what I used to be. Go ahead and tell them. I'm not what I used to be. You know, not what I used to be. And man, this is the good rhythm of God today. I am not what I used to be. Young people, let me tell you what. Listen, I want y'all to hear this. Get it now. You know what I tell y'all? Here's why I love preaching at 11 o'clock. Here's why I love preaching at 11 o'clock. Some of y'all going to get it before you're 50. Did you know it's a lot easier to start following Jesus now than it is to mess up your life for 40 years? And then, and listen, you saved and you're going to heaven, but you're going to have a lot of hell here on earth. I mean, that's just the truth. Gary Dale, I'm telling the truth. I'm being straight. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. And today I'm going to tell the truth. Some of y'all are going to like it. Some of you are not going to like it. By the way, this is kind of a sermon with a warning on it. Everything you hear today, the world disagrees with. Everything you hear today, a non-believer will disagree with. And I'm going to give you three things that we're bombarded with. Y'all know I'm telling you. I'm being straight with you. We hear what everybody else thinks all week long. You know, Bill Riley, he's not spinning, and they over there on NBC doing their thing, and ABC's doing his thing, and politicians doing their thing, and we hear all kinds of voices. Y'all are up at the university. And there's people who have PhD, which means they know one thing really well. Hope they're teaching that class. And they're telling you their thing. And we're in the midst of figuring out, man, what is real? What works? And so guess what? I'm going to encourage you. And today, let's be encouraged. What did God say? What did God say? What has God said? And what if we did what God said? Make sense? Now, as we go through the message today, all of us will be guilty somewhere. So before you get your finger out and go, boy, get them, you'll be in the next part of the verse. So don't get too loud too quick, okay? If you've never been to Hillview before, I want you to know that we're a church that welcomes sinners to become saints. And so if you look around the room and go, man, there's some people here that really do some stuff. You're right. Because they're looking back at you and say, there's some religious people that really do some stuff. And so here's what we've realized. We've all sinned against God, but praise be to God, He has sent grace for sinners that they might be saved and become new. Isn't that neat? Now, because we are not what we used to be, we don't think like we used to think. Have y'all figured that out? You think differently when you changed. How many of y'all think differently when you changed? You think differently. And if you think differently, what happens, counselor? Oh, by the way, I've told all the attorneys, do not worry. We've had attorneys in all three services. We're going to deal with lawsuits today. But I want you to know that this is for believers and not unbelievers. And there will be plenty of non-believers to keep you full of work, okay? I just want you to know. There'll be plenty of non-believers, all right? We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 6, and he's going to give us a lineup. Says, you know what? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you ought to learn how to work out your problems among yourselves. Now, I want to tell you something. For those of us in Christ, our relationships ought to be impeccable with each other. You know, we ought to care about each other. University students, I'm glad you all are here. We pray for you before you got here. It's kind of weird, isn't it? that God would send us the university. Watch this. We don't tell God to send us the whole campus. We tell God to send us the university students that are to be influenced by this church so that they might go out throughout the world and do great things. And it's pretty cool because we pray that, and the students we get here really are globally minded students. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. We've never talked about, we've never had, for you church people, we've never had a foreign missions program, and we've ended up sharing the gospel in more countries than ever. We just got a Jesus program here. And we find if you do what Jesus says, Jesus blesses the whole world. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? If you'll do what Jesus says, the whole world will be blessed. Now, he tells us this. We are to settle disputes, those of us who believe, among ourselves. One of the worst witnesses we have in the American church is we fight among ourselves. And we say bad things about each other. And we've even had brother and sister take each other to court and sue each other. And Paul is talking to the church in Corinth and says, this is ridiculous. Now, let's see what ought to happen. Three things. If you do business as a believer, say, as a believer. Okay? There's a different, you know what I'm talking about, girls? You live different as a believer versus as one who does not believe. Does that make sense? Now, listen. If you don't believe in Jesus, I expect you to say sin is okay. If you don't believe in Jesus, I expect you to declare equality over sin instead of put a danger warning on it. I expect that. I'm not rattled by anything that we have decided to believe because we think like those who don't what? Believe. But I'm talking to the used to be's. Now, if you're yet to be, there's two types of people in here. Those who believe, right? And I look at it like this, the way I like to look at it, and those who are yet to believe. Those who believe and those who are going to believe or yet to believe. Okay, so check this out. Paul is exasperated. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? He's like going, what are you guys doing? Why? Well, you say, well, man, I'm glad we don't do stuff like that. Really? Let me ask you a question. Why do you who claim to believe, when you get to marital problems, go seek a marriage counselor who's a non-believer and been divorced 10 times? I've never figured out if you want to stay married, why you go to a counselor that knows how to get divorces. What's going to happen in that counseling? Well, I can tell you the opening line. I can tell you the opening line. Well, you need to be happy. Watch this. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. It says we need to be faithful, we need to be obedient, but it never talks about happy. You see, it's a different way of thinking. The Bible talks about joy, the world talks about excitement. The Bible talks about love, the world talks about popularity. It's a different way of thinking. One lasts and one's for the moment. The world's thinking is only for the moment. So think what Paul's saying. Why would you who believe go ask those who are only going to have an idea for a moment to judge those who will live for eternity? Now, when I put it like that, Mr. Klein, it don't make a lick of sense, does it? So Paul goes on and he said, don't you know who you are? How many of y'all really know who you are? I'm going to show you who you are in the scripture. Look, or do you not know the Lord's people will judge the world? Boy, that kind of puts a ba-doom on this. This is the favorite verse of the 21st century. Judge not, or lest you be what? Now, what's that talking about? It's talking about eternal judgment. None of us here are capable of eternal judgment. You have to be Jesus to judge eternally. It's not talking about bad ideas. So, young ladies, if y'all listen, you got to listen to me. You know, if you bring him home, you with me? You with me? Now, let me tell you who has discernment. Mamas and grandmamas. Now, grandmamas got deep discernment. They like living there with God, all right? So if she calls you over to the side and says, baby girl, he ain't no good. Granny ain't being ugly. What's she doing? She loving her baby. Watch this. If I could put like honest foo-foo dust over the congregation right now, Most everybody that went through a divorce had somebody tell them to run from who they married. Am I not telling the truth? I'll ask them, I said, did your mom say anything about this guy? Oh, yeah, she hated him. But what about your grandma? She's told me I was going to be in trouble. What about your auntie? Oh, my aunt said this is the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life. And guess what? Now you living in what they knew was going to happen. Why did they say something? I'm going to tell you right now, my daughter, if she brings in a pumpkin head, I'm going to say, Clancy, that's a pumpkin head. See, I think of it like this, the parent. Do I want to eat Thanksgiving dinner across from what they're dragging in? Because I know I'm going obligated to feed these people at least two free meals. Maybe one for sure. You either get them Thanksgiving or Christmas. I told Elizabeth, those are two great times for us to go on vacation. See what I'm saying? But she won't listen to me. And yeah, but guess what? But I'm concerned that my daughter get somebody. Well, so I'm not going to think like the world. I care what she does. And most of you parents care what your children do. True or false? And if you're yet to have kids, one day when you have kids, it's going to happen to you too. You're going to start saying all those things you said you'd never say. You're going to start laughing. You go, oh my gosh, I sound like my mother. It's because you're a mother. Or you're going to say, words of my father spewing out of my mouth. Because it happens. Now, nobody says, don't you know who you are as people of God? You're going to judge the world. That means this. You're going to stand on Jesus' side of judgment, and Jesus will judge the world. Now, whether you buy into that, whether you agree with that, whether your particular group of equality believes in that, that's going to happen. And so when it's happening, I want you to know it's going to be rough on the 325 million people. There will be a judgment by Jesus, and you don't have anything to say about it. And really, Congress doesn't have anything to say about it. Democracy doesn't have anything to say the thing about it. It will be the final judgment. But we get to judge on the side of Jesus. If you're with Jesus, you know to judge. Amen? So today, if you don't know Jesus, I would know him. He says, don't you understand? You're going to judge the world. So he said, look at this. Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you're to judge the world, are you not competent? Are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You know what he's saying? God's people ought to have enough common sense to take care of business among themselves. Now, business people, three things you ought to have. Young people, write this down. Y'all want to blow the world away in your generation? The three things the world does not have anymore. First one, integrity. Be who you are. Be who you are. Most people aren't who they are. They pretend to be somebody else, true or false. Be who you are. One of the things I've learned, people know who I am. Do you all come to this church and expect not to hear something to tick you off? See, I don't apologize about that. That's integrity. Have I ever been a sweet little rainbow preacher that makes sure little magic dust everywhere. The world is wonderful if we just sing hands. You know, hold hands and sing kumbaya, the world will come together. Have I ever told you all that lie? Never will. You say, well, I know preachers that do that. It doesn't work. It's never worked. History shows it's never worked. It's never worked. No matter who says it's going to work, it won't work. So it's time to come to reality. Young people, especially you guys, I want y'all to be integrity. Be who you are. So you know what that means? Be who you are. Be who you are. When I'm New York, guess what I am? I'm a boy from Kentucky who wears boots, who likes stuff fried. I don't change my ways when I go to New York. When I go to California, I don't start eating roots. Now listen, I ain't got anything against eating roots. They like to eat roots out there in California. Lord have mercy. They'd be amazed at what's on the rest of the tree. Fruit. They eat seaweed. Weeds. They smoke weed and eat weed out there. They like weeds. Yeah. I guess if you smoke enough weed, you don't mind eating some roots. You know what I'm talking about? But if you're clear-headed, you like fruit. Yeah. Watch this. That's just part of life. If you're from California, that's okay. You're here now. Thank God. Praise him. Okay, now look, so we're going to introduce you to something you hadn't heard in a long time. It's called common sense. And this is what Jesus said. There's some value in having some real common sense to work disputes out among each other. I want to tell you something, church. We need to have some integrity. Be who you are. Amen. Number two, quit lying. Amen. Quit lying. God's people lie all the time. Let me tell you who's the worst group of liars I know. Who do you think it is? Boy. You know what I like, you guys. I like you. Like at 8 o'clock, I said it. They all know who it was, but they were like. And eventually I told them who it was. They went, we knew that. At 9:30, everybody was like, preachers lie a lot. Let me show you how preachers lie. I go to these conferences. Who's at the conference? Preachers. Now, I don't recommend you're in a conference longer than 4 or 5 hours surrounded by a room full of preachers. They're kind of like flies. One-on-one, they ain't too bad, but you lump them all together, it can get kind of nasty, okay? And so get all these preachers together. Every preacher I said, bro, how's it going? Oh, man, God's blessing our church, man. It's unreal. The blessing's flowing out of our church. I mean, I ain't never in my... And Gary Dale, I talk to every one of them, and blessing's flowing out of their church. It's the greatest thing going on. And I'm thinking to myself, if all these churches are doing so great, Sean Pugh, how's the world going to hell so fast? Because we'd rather lie than tell the truth. Say, right now, it's not going like we want it to go. It's not going like God wants it to go. I want to tell you, we got to get honest. Quit lying. Third thing is this. Be excellent. Students, I'm going to talk to y'all right here. You may not like what I got to say. I don't care. Did you realize that God made some of y'all really smart? And you know why he made you really smart? You need to read the whole Bible. Like women like Esther. She made a difference because she was an absolute knockout with powerful brains. She saved the Jewish people. She wouldn't have done that by being a C student. Daniel was lifted up and recognized, not because he made C's, but because he made beyond what the world could do. I'm going to give you a challenge. God made some of you incredibly smart for a reason. Because your intelligence is to glorify God, not glorify the academic world. Be who you are. Be excellent. If you're a believer, work starts at 8 o'clock. Guess what time you need to be there? Good. Thank you. 7. Man, you up? Hey, let's quit. Y'all got the answers. I like it. Yeah. You ought to be there 5 minutes early if you're a believer. Don't ever do this. Or if you do, tell them you're going to live at Hope. No, I'm just kidding. Jason and I are good buddies. Don't you ever walk into work and say, I'm 5 minutes late because I was at a prayer meeting. Or I was reading my Bible, or I was having my quiet time. Listen, if you're going to be lazy, you be it on your own. Because you wasn't praying to the God I know. If he's praying to the God I know at about 20 till, he'd have told you to go to work. He told you to be there 5 minutes early. He'd have told you to live an exemplary work life. Watch this. What if we were these kind of people? We were integrity, non-lying, excellent kind of people. What would our witness be in the world? People go, I won't hear what you got to say. But since we've practiced some things of the world, it has limited the credibility of the church. I'm asking us to repent and get real about the situation. He goes on to tell us this. Don't be taking each other to the courtroom. Solve it. Solve it. Listen, if I'm doing business with a brother, you know what I expect? I expect excellence. I hope that brother expects excellence out of me because we're brothers in Christ. We're brother and sister in Christ. If I'm with a sister, I hope she knows that she's with a brother in Christ and she absolutely has no worries when she's with me because I'm a brother in Christ. Now, if you're with somebody without Christ, get worried because they don't think new. They think what? Old. That's why all you young girls, if you dating a Christian guy, he ain't asking. So if he's asking, question his Christianity. That got a little cold, didn't it? Because see, a follower of Jesus, it's a guy, and he's with his girlfriend. He says, when we get married. What a day that'll be. A non-believer says, I want what makes me feel good right now. And Jesus doesn't work in the right now. He works in the it's right. See, we work in right now. Jesus works when it's right. Does that make sense? Now listen to what he says in Scripture. Don't be taking each other to court. Don't be allowing a mind that doesn't know me to judge you. He said, don't you know that you will judge the angels? How much more the things of this life? So guess what? Don't bash, but know these things aren't any good. And he goes on to tell us. Check this out. He said, you'll be judging angels. So all of y'all that go to the funeral home and say, well, I guess she just became a little angel. No, one better than that. One who's connected to Christ. Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? There's my example. Why do you go ask somebody that's been divorced 10 times how to be married? Because what do you know they don't know how to do? Good. I just want to help you with that. Yeah. I would ask somebody like Earl and Cindy Wassum, who've been married for 67 years, happily. That the key word there is happily. I know a lot of people have been married 50 years and they're waiting until death do us part. I mean, they're looking forward to that. Not me, honey. I'm talking about other people. I did get in trouble real bad one time. I told y'all that, didn't I? Elizabeth and I were having a conversation on a trip. And she looked at me and she said, honey, do you think we'll be married in heaven? And I paused. I said, no, honey. It's heaven. There's a new form of... I'm mad about that one. Now what? It's a different relationship in heaven. We're married into Christ. Beyond our relationships. We live in that world. Now look, so we're to bring that realization. I repented of that story that I told Elizabeth. I said, we'll probably be married, honey. Then I thought, when we're not, it's a big deal. Let her argue with Jesus. It's possible. Now watch this. Is it possible? Now listen to what he says. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? You know what's been cool about Hillview? We've had some disputes between believers and people have practiced the scripture. They came into the office and we were wise enough to get it settled without it costing people a lot of money. Just makes sense. Do you know why? Do you know why things cost so much money? We want what? What we want when we want it. Makes sense? And that leads us to get in disputes. How many of y'all get in disputes because you always want what you want instead of what God wants? Yeah. And watch. Some people don't know what God wants anymore. Because guess what you think? You think God wants to please you. Now, listen, I don't get mad at you because you watch TV, and guess what the TV preachers tell you? Guess what they tell you, Brock? You've been to some of those conferences I've been. How blessings can flow through your life, and it can pour out. And if you just pray 5 times to the east and 2 times to the west, God will drop $1,000 check in your mailbox. Hallelujah! Yeah, sure. That's a bunch of stuff. And I don't want y'all to be stupid and believe that that's the way God works. That's time somebody called that jazz out. God's not a late night cable commercial. He's the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, and he's not here to hand out free money. In fact, I only know one guy that made a money offer. Guess who he was, Frank? The devil. The devil talks about money. God talks about glory. Now note this, these things are not what God has made us to be. Stay out of them. But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've been completely defeated. He's saying, learn how to work your stuff out. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and you do wrong. Now listen, cheating and wrongdoing is not a part of the kingdom of God. I want you to be wise. That means preachers ripping people off do not stand in the will of God. Now, it's not what God's called you. Anytime a preacher tells you God's called you to give them money, they out of order. They out of order. I got a word for that preacher. Go get a job. Frank, I got all the young preachers. They talking about how, well, I need help. When we started this church, we didn't have any money. Guess what I did? I went and got a job. Guess what Elizabeth did? She had a job. We didn't ask the congregation to give us $5, $10. We didn't stand up in front of the congregation and tell them about the amount of our house payment. We prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ that he would give us work, and he gave us work, and God brought it through. Now, every time I prayed, hold on. Watch this. Every time I prayed for God to help me financially, he's never put a check in my mailbox, but he's put a job opportunity in front of me. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, tell you this is true. I got called to go do a revival. Did a lot of revivals. I said, Elizabeth, man, this church got 20 people in it. She said, honey, the Lord told you to go wherever he sends you. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I wish the Lord knew how much rent was. And I thought, man, Lord have mercy. Guess what? That little old church, I know it's a miracle of God. Because I went back there 2 years later and the check was missing a zero. God provided enough for the month to get done. God will provide for your needs. God will take care of our disputes. You see what he's saying? We live in a different kingdom than the world. We do not have to depend upon the world to survive. That includes the government. See, some of you believe this. Guess what? Some of you come from other countries. You know what I'm talking about. When you give your life to the government, you might as well just go ahead and put the chains of slavery on. Because you're owned by another human. Now, here's what God says. Here's the difference. You can either be owned by humans or you can be owned by who? But you're going to be owned by somebody. How many of y'all glad to know that a graceful God owns your soul? The God of all eternity has got you, man. Whoa! That'll make you go. That's who you are. Now look what he says. Stay out of this stuff, it'll kill you. He said, instead, you yourselves cheat and you do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Respect your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't be lying. Don't be cheating. Don't be stealing them. Don't be conning from them. Line it up and do what God says do. Amen? Do what God says do. Look at here. Or do you not know, verse 9, I want you to know these things will kill you, they'll destroy you, stay out of them. Now, the world says these things are okay. I'm showing you what the Bible says. Now, when I read these things, you can jump up and down, you can get mad at me, you can send me emails, you can blow the server up here at church. That will not change what God said. It doesn't matter how many people agree that it's going to be okay, this is what God said. Look what he said. These things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's what they mean. These things are not in the kingdom of God. These things don't exist in God's realm of thinking. Be warned. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. They'll bite you. Sexual immorality. God never recommends sexual immorality. Have y'all noticed that? Watch this. Nor adulterers. That's always in the Bible. That's worshiping other things other than God. Nor adulterers. That means once you make a covenant, to cheat on that covenant. What if I had a group demanding adultery rights? We got a group and said, man, we think we ought to have adultery. We think adultery is a good thing. We don't think God has anything against adultery. We think adultery is just wonderful. And we're going to start a group called Adulterers' Rights. How many of y'all in? I guarantee you a lot more of you all are adulterers than anything else. But we know it's what? It's not a good decision. How many of y'all realize it's not a good decision? Let me help you. If I had a girlfriend, would this be a good thing? How many of y'all would say, well, we just know, Pastor, you know, it's just the way he is. No. Y'all are judging me. But you know that's not right, right? Please say it's not right. Tell me you know it's not right. Tell me you know it's not right. It's not right. In other words, I made a covenant to somebody. That covenant says, only unto you, so long as I shall live, may I stay in that.
Because that's way, that's integrity. That's honest. That's excellent. Look what he says. Be careful. Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, the adulterers. Okay. Nor men who have sex with men. This is Corinth. This is Rome. They had it all. They got everything we got. They got everything we got. Okay. And then he says, watch this. Take this. Look at verse 9. He goes on. Nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want you all to note something there. Do you see any commas or asterisks beside any of those things? They will all destroy you. Now, guess what, church? Our job is not to scream and yell at sinners. How many of y'all like to be yelled at? Raise your hand if you love to be yelled at. I mean, you look forward during the day to be yelled at. How many of y'all have ever worked for somebody that yells? Sean, you can raise your hand. You got it at both places. Sometimes I raise my voice. Okay, Sean works in football staff. Gary Dale, you reckon he's heard some yelling before. Even you football players, how many of you all enjoy... Top player over here. How many of y'all just said, man, I look forward today for the coach just chewing me out. I'm so excited about that. Huh? Ty, you didn't look forward to that, did you? In fact, I played football back in the old days, back when you had a reel-to-reel film. And this sound today still makes me cringe. Klein, you remember that sound. On the reel-to-reel projector. How many of y'all remember a reel-to-reel projector? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Your grandparents, that's the way they did home video. And on this projector, when you freeze the frame of the film, praise God you couldn't leave it there too long or it burned the film in true. But it would sound like this. Remember that? Oh, gosh. When I heard a cuss word in my name in that sound, I knew it was bad. Because I'd look on the film and it's like, oh, that's my number. You know what I hate about film? It has integrity, it doesn't lie, and it shows whether you were excellent or not. As long as they don't show the film, I can say, man, that wasn't my assignment. But when they show the film, I go, oh, goodness, that was my assignment. You see what I'm saying? We get into things that'll kill us. Now, here's all I can tell you. God wants us to live. If you've messed up, repent. Does that make sense? But guess what? Don't try to make sin not sin because it still acts like sin. If I call a rattlesnake a kitty cat, does that make it a kitty cat? So if I treat the rattlesnake like a kitty cat instead of purring, what's the thing going to do? Yeah. So watch this. If it's going like this, that's a what? If it's going... What's that? But watch this. We're trying to make rattlesnakes kitty cats. We're trying to make what is poisonous non-poisonous, and it remains poisonous. Now, young people, listen to me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Here's what you don't have. You don't have the rest of the story. Fortunately, I've lived long enough that there is white streaky hairs coming outside of my hair, and I don't get that done at the shop like Keith gets his. Mine are real. Look here. I know the rest of the story because I've had to watch people die as a result of it, sexual immorality. Not spiritually, physically. And so you do that a couple times, and guess what? You realize that God said these things not to hinder us, but that we might live. Make sense? Now, can God work miracles? Absolutely. Does God give us grace? Absolutely. Does God want us to stay in these things? Absolutely not. Look at what he said, verse 11. And this is what some of you were. How many of y'all are glad to know that you don't have to stay in stuff that kills you? Amen. To me, that's the good news. Oh, I couldn't preach at this. What if this was my message? Only those of you who have never done anything bad get to go to heaven. Let's go take some Xanax. Because we're all out. Aren't you glad this is my message? It's not where you are. It's where Christ would be in you that changes everything in your life. Aren't you glad to know that if you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come in your life, he forgives us of our sins and brings us to a new life? And you say, well, Pastor Ayers, I have received Jesus Christ and I still struggle. You know what I say? Amen. Amen. Guess what? Before you met Jesus Christ, you didn't have any struggle with sin. You just automatically got right in. But once you got the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit's like one of them big Scotty's trucks. Got one of them beepers on the back of it. And the Holy Spirit, when you get around things you're not supposed to be in, it's going, beep, 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 beep. How many of y'all got that going on when you get around something you're not supposed to do? Come on, raise your hand if you get that going on. You know what you ought to say? Thank you, Jesus. That means you saved. My daddy used to thump my head in church when I wouldn't listen. Now, this is back when you could thump a child's head and not get arrested. Pap was a part of my worship experience. Because I wasn't listening. I was eating. Good Sundays for me when I was a kid is when I got a cherry lifesaver. Let me tell you how crazy it was when I was a kid. I was one of those hyperactive kids. I know it's hard for y'all to believe. But I was a hyperactive kid in church. That's why I don't fuss at any of our squiggly wigglies here in worship. Here's why. I was a squiggly wiggly. Now imagine this. What if you hear from your Sunday school teacher that God created you, he made you squiggly wiggly, but when he worships you, you got to sit down and never move. That's a mean God. To make you a wiggler and then say, be still. You know what I found out? God lets people wiggle during worship. And he calls us to be still sometimes during worship. But if you wiggle a little, you can be still better. That's why I say in praise and worship, all them hyperactive kids, let them worship. By the time I get ready to preach, they'll be wore out at least. Amen. Yeah, look at here. Be careful. Be careful. Sin will kill you. Grace will bring you to life. We don't have to be this way anymore. There ought to be an absolute conviction in your life when you get around sinful things. Now, here's what you need to be careful of. You can convince yourself with the rational mind that sin is not sin. You got to be careful. It's the way you become an addict. How many of y'all realize that if you're addicted to a substance, it takes a long time before you realize you're addicted to the substance? Yeah. How many of y'all have ever heard somebody do this? They're 70 years old. They've been smoking for 60 years. Well, I could quit anytime I want to. How many of y'all have ever heard that? See, I like my grandfather's way. My grandfather said, I smoke and I ain't quitting. He said, it'll kill me, but at least I'll die with something I enjoyed dying with. He said, something's going to kill you. You might as well. He got that big old pipe and he'd go. And he died at 87 years old. He outlived all the doctors that told him he's going to die. Crazy. But you know what? At least he was honest. Now listen, dishonesty will kill you. Dishonesty will keep you from understanding the kingdom of God. You know what God says? Be honest. Look what he says. This is what some of you were. But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Do you realize, my friend, you're no longer what you used to be? So you no longer judge like you used to judge. You have now been loved by the Almighty God. So guess what that makes you? It makes you Almighty possible. And almighty possible people live a lot better than limited thinking people. Guess how long you're going to live? Tell your neighbor, forever. Tell them. You're not a vampire. Tell them you're a believer. You live forever because you're a believer. And you're not going to be one of them walking zombies either. You're going to be in life forever, compliments of Jesus Christ. Now I'm finished today. Does this make sense today? Now listen, church, be careful. Well, people get nervous when I have to preach stuff like that. They say, Pastor, you know what's in there? I said, yeah. I don't expect the world to agree with the church. I'm going to tell you something else I expect you all not to do. Please don't yell at people that are lost. Because they're what? Like if I pull in for directions, you ever gotten lost, sir? Yeah, me too. I mean, I drove cars before they had that lady on that little machine tells you where to go. She about drove me in a pond one day. Turn right in 4.2 meters or whatever it was. I got ready to turn right. I said, baby, there's a pond over here. You know what's amazing to me, though? A lot of y'all trust that Google girl more than you do Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said? If you'll believe in me, you'll ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you, and you won't have to live in that stuff that's been killing you. And because you don't live in stuff that kills you, we need to bring life to each other. Amen? We need to bring what to each other? Life. So if you're married, what do you need to bring to each other? If you got kids, what do you need to bring to those kids? Life. And let me help you. You will never understand Jesus as long as it's all about you. Because the first step into Jesus is to Jesus, and not about me anymore. I believe I'm a sinner and I need you in my life. And Jesus says, well, good, now it's about me and you. But it's going to be about me so you can be you. If you'll make it about me, then you'll be a better you. Is that pretty cool? Does everybody understand that little play on words there? If you'll make it about him, then you will be the best you can be. All right, I'm finished. Any questions? Any questions? Seriously, any questions? Be very careful with the warning in Scripture. Because let me help you with what the Scripture just declared. People who claim to know Christ and lie and cheat and live in sin and just absolutely have no change. You know why that happened? They're not saved. You said, well, they said they were. Yeah, but they don't have any evidence of their what? Salvation. Listen, I like chocolate cookies. See? No, Sean Pugh, if somebody looked at you and you said, hey, I like to eat, what would they say? Amen. You have integrity. I have integrity to that. Listen, we got to have integrity to our faith. So if you're in business situation, you're doing business with other believers, hey, something comes up, business things can cross up, settle it like a believer. It'll save you money in the long run. He said, well, prayer for errors, if they did me. You know what? I'm just going to tell you the truth, Marty. I've eaten a few thousand dollars along the way because guess what? It was cheaper than disturbing the situation. And here's what I found. I'm just tell you what I found. I've never missed a meal. Sometimes it's better to be wrong and cheated. Sometimes I could demand my right. The person made a bad move. They didn't fit. But you know what? I have found this. If you forgive, you understand the one who's forgiven you. But our call ought to be excellent to each other. University students, Hilltopper football players, yesterday you were evidence of excellence. Thank you. To the glory of God. That's what it means, to the glory of God. Students, I get excited. My wife and I get excited. We get excited every time we look in the paper and, you know, little Judy so-and-so's done this excellently or that excellently or achieved in the classroom. You know what I say every time I see that? I say, man, praise God. Praise God. There's a better world coming. And I really do believe those three things ought to be the rhythm of believers. I'm going to be who I am. And God made us all a little bit different. God saved us the same and made us all a little bit different to expose his glory. Make sense? Second thing, man, quit lying. Tell the truth. If you're broke, then tell people what? I'm broke. I need a job, I'm broke. I'd much rather hear somebody tell me I'm broke. Because, see, people think I believe the stuff they tell me. Like, man, I got this deal going on, I got a lot of money. Well, if you got a lot of money, you don't need any from me. See, y'all need to learn how to quit getting conned. And listen, if you get an email and it's about your 600th cousin from Nairobi that just left you $5 million, that's a lie. Don't send them $3,000 to do the paperwork. Especially if you're white. And that's who's sending them money. It's called common sense. I know. But that's what is left our world. Is what? But I don't even want you to have common sense. I want you to have Jesus' sense in the situation. At whatever you're doing. Now, you can't do that unless you have a relationship with Jesus. And so today, some of y'all need to get a relationship with Jesus. And guess what Jesus wants to do? He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to be connected to you. That's pretty neat, isn't it? That's what Jesus wants to do. So on Christ, some people will refuse that today. You know what? But here's the good news. Here's what I look forward to. People have already received that today. That's good news, isn't it? They've said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. Do you believe he'll change you today? I believe he will. But no matter what I believe, will you receive what Jesus is going to do? Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. If you're not a believer, do you think God brought you here today to just hear some good music? Because you heard some good music. Do you think God brought you here to go, that's a pretty good idea? Or do you think God brought you here to bring you a brand new life? I think a God that goes through the trouble of dying and rising again 3 days later, he don't play. You know why I follow Jesus? He don't play. He's a risen Lord. Watch this. I've only found one thing that's never lied to me. And it's not my mama. She lied. Tell people I was a good boy. Oh, no good boy. Klein, your mama lied too. He said, you was a good boy. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm a sinner in need of grace. Hold on. How many of y'all realize we can used to be, we don't have to stay where we are? And Hillview, I don't know if you want to stay here or not, but I'll tell you what. I know this. There's enough people in this church sold out to making sure that people that don't know Jesus want to hear his great message, that it's going to happen here. You know what I love about Jesus? It doesn't take a majority. It takes whosoever will. So today I'm asking you, will you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. As I reeled off those things Paul talked about, don't you know this stuff isn't any good? This stuff makes you think bad. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. If a man's sneaking around on his wife, what does that do to his job? Watch this. Y'all tell me character doesn't have a big deal. I guarantee you Hillary will run in 2016, and I bet Monica Lewinsky will be brought back up. Don't tell me it doesn't have a price. It has a price. It has a price. But the price is this. It messes with the way you live. That's why God doesn't want you involved in it. Why don't you come and tell him, say, Lord Jesus, I want to repent of my sins. I want to be a believer. I want to ask you into my life and let God save you. Now, only God can save you. I can't do a salvation dance and y'all get saved. That's the way it works. I can't convince you to be saved. Only the Holy Spirit can convince you to be saved. My job is to tell you you can be. And I hope I've done that today. Really, here at Hillview, if you go to hell, you on your own. Because every Sunday you hear how to get saved. So don't think it's going to work. Stand up on the day of judgment. Well, I didn't know about getting baptized. God's going to go, do you go Hillview? He said, that knothead said it every Sunday. I was right there with him. Now, I didn't send you to the most brilliant preacher, but I sent you to one that knew exactly what to tell you. That I was Lord, I would save you, I would forgive you, and in me you'll live. That's the truth. Amen? That's the truth. And so God wants you to live in truth. Y'all have been wonderful today. Thanks for being here. Thanks for bringing some friends today. I see some new people here today. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, man, we're not asking you to join the church. But we are highly recommending that you pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, that your sins would be forgiven. And after that, we're asking you to be obedient to what God says. He says, after I receive him, I need to be baptized in him. Buried and risen. Amen, brother? Amen. Buried and risen. And everybody in here that's been baptized said, man, that made a difference because you stood up for Jesus. If you haven't done that yet, we're going to invite you to do that. We're going to ask you to be baptized. We're going to ask you to come and pray. Does that make sense? To come and pray. If you're sick, come and pray. If you messed up in sin, guess what I'd do? Come and pray. Say, Lord, forgive me. And God will show you a way out. Amen? Man, it's been good. Thank you all for being the people you are. Now, it's time to get in this world and let them know Jesus is for real. Please hear me. Do not scream and yell at people that don't know Jesus. I have friends of mine and they are caught in deep, crazy sin. You know what I do? I talk to them. I love them. And they'll even look at me and get what they go, I know you're going to tell me that Jesus thing again. I go, yeah, that's all I got. And so, that's what works, sister. It does. It works. And that's what I tell them. I go, well, not me, if you won't be changed. And they go, how do you know it changed? I said, I would have busted your head without Jesus. I said, you went to school with me. And they go, you're right. I said, what changed me? I mean, I've been changed. That's why I preach. How many of y'all been changed? I'm thoroughly convinced. Watch this. Everything in my life, I got to preach for just a minute. Everything in my life I owe to Jesus. I look at my marriage. You know why Elizabeth and I stayed together? Tell them, Elizabeth. Jesus. First word that came out of her mouth. Y'all thought she was going to say, well, I married such a marvelous man. It's been over there. No. Who? Jesus, I say with all integrity. When I look at my children, when I look at my son, I look at his wife, I see Jesus. I say, thank you, Jesus. Because without a relationship with Jesus, I'd never see that. When I look at my daughter, she's incredibly crazy smart. She gets that from her mother. But she honors God with it. I say, thank you, Jesus. See what I'm saying? When I look at a boy that she's kind of hanging around with, I say, Jesus, be with him. He has no idea what he's in for. Protect him. Protect him, Lord. You see what I'm saying? Everything in my life I owe to who? All I owe to him. Jesus. If you believe her, you do too. You do too. And so, man, if you don't believe, I'm going to ask you to come and believe. He said, Pastor Steve, you really think he'd change me? I come and believe. You tell me 5 years from now after I guarantee you, you start following Jesus. Marty, will he change you? Can you wear him out, Marty? Will he wear you out? In grace. Some of y'all got wore down enough, you finally got holy. Well, let Jesus have his way in your life. Okay, let's stand together. And let's have an altar that really alters our lives. Let's let Jesus speak into our lives. Lord, you know today there's several folks here that just need, Lord, some of them need to take that step in baptism. Others of them need to receive you for the first time. Some need to just come and pray and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been calling your name but living an opposite way. Lord, I want to line up. God, I'll honor that prayer. Man, just feel the love in this room from Jesus. If you're struggling with an addiction, you came to the right church, that stuff don't bother us because we know Jesus will change you. There's hope in this house. And as long as there is breath in our lungs, the songs will sing his praises and the preaching will tell of his cross and his resurrection. The teaching will verify that the word of God, it says what it says and it means what it means, doesn't it, Pastor Jeff? So y'all come. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to this altar. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Young people, look at me. World's not lost. It's not over. It's not done. You're in it. And you love Jesus. Now, I am going to have to correct a few things. Holding hands and singing Sesame Street songs ain't going to change it. And I wish it was all right that we could just all kind of globally melt together and it's all going to work, but it's going to take the death of the God, and that's already happened. His name is Jesus. And it's going to take a new life. That's called a resurrection, and that is in you. And you go proclaim that to the world, and the world will begin to change toward him. Don't doubt what Jesus will do. Pray with me, Lord. Those that don't believe, just talk to them right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you don't believe, ask him, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the... Come into my life, Lord. And you say, well, that's too long a prayer. All right, just work. Jesus, help. He'll take it from there. Hey, if you're caught in sin, come ask Jesus to untangle you. If you're feeling condemnation right now, that means you're not in Christ, because the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're being convicted, it's because the Lord loves you enough to say, hey, 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 get that out of your life. Get that out of your life. All right, this altar's open. Y'all come. Don't let anybody stand back. Don't let anybody stand back. Let them all come that need to believe. If you haven't been baptized, you're coming. Say, Lord, I want to be baptized. Come on, we got pastors ready. Come on. Come on, God's going to heal some folks. Let him have his way today. I feel him in here. There is no doubt. Let him move in your life. Let him move in your life.